said he made it anew, that same lump of clay. Not a new lump, but he made that same lump anew. Well, Exodus 33 tonight, we'll turn there, and I'll tell you, we're going to be a new series tonight, and so it's going to take me a few minutes to, we want to take a little bit of time to introduce the series and kind of give you an introduction of that, but you're going to have to help me tonight because we have a lot to cover. And how many of you got your Bibles with you tonight? All right, we're going to use the Word of God. It's always good when we do that, Bible study. And so tonight we'll definitely use the Word of God, and we want you to help turn and read passages of Scripture. I want you to follow me with what we're going to look at tonight. Exodus chapter 33, and we're going to start looking at verse number 18. If you're there, say amen. The Bible says, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. He said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he says, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, there is a place by me. Hallelujah. Hey, right there, brother, you said, hey, you said maybe something worth stealing right there. You can preach right there for a while. Hallelujah. There is a place by me. And thou shalt stand upon a rock. Friend, if you're standing by him, you're going to be on the rock. Amen. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cliff of the rock, and will cover thee with mine hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Let's go to the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we need you tonight. Holy Spirit of God, it's my prayer that you would, Lord, permeate this place with your power, with your spirit, with your presence. Lord, I pray tonight that you'd cleanse me all of me and empty me of all of me and fill me with all of you. Lord, be of my stammering lips of clay, I pray tonight that you'd give me clarity of thought, quickness of speech. Help me to say everything that needs to be said, nothing that does not. I pray, Lord, Holy Spirit of God, that you'd put a hedge of protection about this place, that Satan would not get an advantage. Lord, you'd help us when we leave tonight, that we leave not only challenged but changed. And we'll give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm interested really mainly tonight. Man, I want to really just preach out this whole passage. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. But I'm interested in verse number 18, just as a springboard tonight, as we look at this. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Show me thy glory. I want you to turn your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9. And we'll look at several verses real quick, and then we're going to get into the crux of what this series is going to be about. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse number 23. Jeremiah chapter 9. Isaiah, Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29, verse 23 and 24. Who's got it? Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. Read it, Brother Bill, please. Now, I want to point out verse 24, especially to you tonight. It says, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, for I am the Lord. Okay? So we have one where Moses cries out, Lord, show me thy glory. I always want to know you. Right here, Jeremiah says, if anybody's going to glory, that he needs to understand that the thing we need to glory in, God said, is that he knows me. Now, watch this. Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 10. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 10. That's New Testament, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 10. So, there in Jeremiah 9, he says that he understandeth. If any man is going to glory, let him glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. I am the Lord. Who's got Philippians 3:10? Paul cries out. What's he say, Marcia? That I may know him. That I may know him. Now I want you to go to one final place. It won't be final for tonight. It'll be final for the next minute or two. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. So, Moses, show me thy glory. Wants to know. Jeremiah says you need to understand and know the Lord. Paul, that I may know him. Then Philippians 12:3, the Bible says, for consider him. We know who that's talking about. It's talking about the Lord Jesus, and you'll find that out. He says, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Each one of these verses, each one of these statements carry with it the idea of going deeper in knowledge of the Lord, growing deeper in knowing the Lord. They each have the idea of going further in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter would say. The statements that we just read carry with them the notion of a desire and a search and a study of Almighty God. And they cast forth a picture of a life spent discovering everything possible about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you to understand tonight when Moses said, Lord, show me thy glory. That was his motive. He wanted to know more and more about Jesus. Amen. More and more about the Lord. When Paul said that I may know him, that was his desire. When the writer of Hebrews here says, consider him, that was his advice that he was giving. Spend some time. He was saying, you and I, consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. And he was saying to you and I, his advice to you and I was spend some time thinking on Jesus. Amen. We'd do well to do that. Put some effort into knowing him. Make the supreme theme of your life studying Jesus Christ and learning all you can about him. And he says it'll help your outlook. It'll help your attitude. It'll certainly help your gratitude towards God. He says, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. Can I tell you, one of the reasons that so many people are weary today, one of the reasons so many people are faltering and failing today is because they're not considering him. We're considering everything else. We're considering what he said and what she said and what they said, but we're not considering him. So I want to draw your attention to those two words once again in verse number 3 where he says, consider him. And I want to begin a series on that thought, consider him. And I want to spend the next several weeks considering Jesus and looking at the Lord Jesus from several different angles because that's the best way to really become familiar with something, right? You want to know something. You want to figure it out. You want to really get all the knowledge you can about it. You pick it up. You turn it around. You look at it from this way. You look at it from that way. You might even put it under a magnifying glass and really focus in on it. And that's what we want to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. The word consider means this, to think carefully about something, especially when making a decision. You know what you and I had to do when we came to God? We had to make a consideration, didn't we? We had to consider him. And that's what it means, is to consider very closely, very carefully when you're fixing to make a decision. But I like this one the best. It also means, the word consider, to think about and be drawn toward. To think about and be drawn toward. And that's our prayer over the next few weeks, is that we would be drawn closer and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ as we consider him. So for the next few moments, let's take some time surveying and investigating our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight I want to begin by considering, first of all, the face of Jesus. Considering the face of Jesus. Now go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. We're going to first of all consider the face of Jesus. And I'm telling you, I've got so many things I'd like to share with you. You're going to be amazed throughout this series at all you learn about the Lord, things that you've never noticed and really you've never known about the different aspects of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we'll consider the face of Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and I'm going to start reading in verse number 1 for context very quickly. And the Bible says there in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, watch these words, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm interested in verse number 6, as you've already figured out. It says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Do you get that? Other words, it tells us here that the same God that called light out of darkness, other words, the same God that said, let there be light, and there was light, the God of creation, that very same God, the Bible says, it is the same God that's done that in our heart, is that he shined in our hearts, he shined in our dark hearts, the same God that shined in the darkness of the world when the darkness fell upon the deep and upon the earth, that same God, it says, has shined in our dark hearts. Why? To give us the light of the knowledge of God. How? In the face of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? In other words, God has revealed himself to mankind through the face of Jesus Christ. You'll remember God told Moses, you can't see my face and live. So God said, okay, here's what I'll do, Moses. I'll put you in the cliff of the rock, and I'll just kind of pass by, and I'll blip you, just give you a little bit of blip. You can see my hind parts. And I'm going to tell you what, friend, that was enough, because Moses came off that mountain lit up. He said, God said, Moses, you can't see my face and live. But yet the Bible tells us here that God has revealed himself to mankind still yet. How? In the face of Jesus Christ. The Bible says it this way in the book of Hebrews in chapter 1. You'll not have to turn there because I'm trying to hurry. In chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, he says, God, who at sundry times, in other words, various times, and in divers manners, different ways, God, who at different times in different ways spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now, we understand that. God spoke to the fathers by the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, right? And he had the prophets of God that came and spoke to them. That's how he did it then. But it says in verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us, you know how? By his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds. Here's who he is, verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory, in other words, Jesus is the brightness of God's glory, and the express image of his person. I'm telling you tonight that the Bible tells us that God has revealed himself to us, how? In the face of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I stand up on that mountain tonight with Moses, and my heart echoes the same prayer that the man of God prayed, where he said, show me thy glory. Oh, I want to see the glory of God. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to behold his glory. And the Bible says tonight, watch this, that it's found in the face of Jesus Christ. We sing the song, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim, the light of his glory and grace. So what do we see when we look full in his wonderful face? How does it change our perspective? How is it that it makes the things of the earth grow strangely dim? What is it about the faith of Jesus that gives us peace and calm? What is it that helps reveal the glory of God? We're going to look at that tonight, considering the face of God, the face of Jesus. Notice, first of all, it's a shining face. Matthew chapter 17 and verse number 2. Matthew chapter 17 and verse number 2. In Matthew, who's got Matthew 17, 2 quickly? Matthew 17, 2. Go ahead, Tyler. His face did shine as the sun is red. We know this is the Mount of Transfiguration. On that Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus took on, watch this, his glorified, heavenly, majestic form. His face shone as, the Bible says, the sun. What happened here is through his body shone his divinity. Through his human nature showed his heavenly nature. When it showed full proof that he was who he said he was, that he was God. And there, those inner circle apostles, Peter, James, and John, and showed also later in his word the authority of heaven's representative to earth, that he was truly God sent from heaven as God's Son. The Bible says it this way, the goodness of God, it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. See, the Bible says that he came as the glory of God. That's what it says. He came. There came. Hallelujah. I'm glad. Listen, that there was a day that his wonderful light shined in the darkness of depths of my heart. And I hope that there's been that time for you. And when he did, he opened my blinded eyes and I came to see his love and grace. And the Bible says that it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. And when he shines that light in your heart, it's that face that's shown in our heart, revealed to us the light of the glory of God. And because he did, you and I have no question about who Jesus is. If he's ever shined in your heart, listen to me. I like the old simple song by one old country singer that said this, I was there when it happened, so I guess I ought to know. Amen? Talking about salvation, I'm simply saying tonight that the light, the glorious gospel has shined, the glory of God has shined in our heart. And because it has, you and I know full proof that Jesus is all that he claimed to be. And that's what took place on the Mount of Transfiguration. One good reason tonight to consider his face is because it reveals to us, don't miss this, his deity. It reveals to us his deity. I've had people ask me throughout the years, what makes Jesus so different from every other prophet? And of course, they're usually referring to some false prophet like Muhammad or like Confucius or like Buddha or somebody like that. And while there are many, 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 many things that make him different than all the rest, like his sacrificial death, like his resurrection, right? This right here is as good as any of them. His face, listen, his face lit up, the Bible said, like the sun. Matthew said it there, that way it said his face lit up like the sun. And Paul tells us what that light was. He said it was the light of the glory of Almighty God. That's pretty good proof to me he was different than the other prophets. There never been anything like that with them. Oh, I wish I had time to stay. We've got so much to cover. A shining face. Shows his deity. Shows his deity. In the face of Jesus Christ, we see his deity. Notice the second thing. It's a set face. Go to Luke 9:51. It's a set face. Somebody else go to Isaiah 50, verse 7. Isaiah 50, verse 7. Who's got Luke 9:51? Go ahead, Brother Bill. He said, when it came time, Galatians says it this way, and the fullness of time was come. But here it says, when it came time, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Who's got Isaiah 50, verse 7? Isaiah 50, verse 7. You in there? Go ahead, Miss April. Set my face like a flint toward Jerusalem. He was going to the cross. He let nothing deter him. He set his face like a flint. You tell you what this shows us, this set face? His determination. His determination. The phrase set his face shows us his determination. Oh, listen, though he knew what would become of him, he set his face. Though he knew people would doubt him, he set his face. Though he knew he would be rejected, He set his face. Though he knew he would be arrested, still he set his face. Though he knew that he would be carried from prison to prison and judgment hall to judgment hall, he set his face. Though he knew the crowd would cry, "Crucify him," he set his face. Though he knew, listen, that the disciples, what the Bible said, all forsake him and fled, he set his face. Though he knew he would be hanged on an old Roman cross, he set his face. Though he knew he would thirst like he's never thirsted, he set his face. Though he knew he would be buried in a borrowed tomb, he set his face. Can I tell you what we need tonight in a world of darkness, in a world of wickedness? Can I tell you what we need in a world of compromisers and wishy-washy Christians and Christianity? We need some people that will set their face toward heaven and the things of God. We need some people that will determine tonight, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to back up. I'm not going to let up. I'm not going to give up, but I'm going to show up and continue to grow up in my faith until one day, hallelujah, I go up and I'm there with him. He set his face. Determination. Let's go to the cross. Nothing's going to deter me. I'm about my Father's business. Can I tell you tonight, you and I have a job to do. You and I ought to be about the Master's business. And we're going to have some determination about us. Can I tell you, he set his face because he knew that he would rise on the third day. He set his face. The Bible says it this way in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He despised the shame and sat down the right hand of the throne on high. Can I tell you this? For the joy that was set before us, that you and I with him in glory. He set his face. And it's a reminder what Paul said in Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Can I tell you this? Knowing what's ahead for us, knowing what's waiting on us, God help us to set our face in these last days toward the things of God. Just like he said, for the joy that was set before him, Paul said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be revealed for the glory that's waiting on us, the glory that's going to be revealed in us. And knowing what's ahead for us, God help us to set our face in the Word of God. God help us to set our face in the will of God. God help us to set our face toward the work of God. And may God help us set our face in this life. Determined, nothing will deter us from following God in these last days. His shining face revealed his deity. His set face reveals his determination. Notice the third thing. We see a stricken face. Luke 22, a stricken face. Somebody stay in Isaiah 50 if you're there. And I'm going to get you to get verse 6 in a minute. Matthew 26, 67. Somebody's going to Luke 22. Some of you go to Luke 22, Isaiah 50, verse 6, Matthew 26, 67. A stricken face. Who's got Luke 22, 63 and 64? Anyone? I'll read it. Luke 22, 63 and 64. And men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. I said it's a stricken face. And smote him. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy who it is that smote thee. Who's got Isaiah 50, verse 6? Go ahead and read it, Miss Pam. Watch this. My cheeks to them that plucked off, it's a stricken face. He plucked off the hair, and he said, I didn't even hide my face from the shame and from the spitting. A stricken face. Who's got Matthew 26, 67. Anyone? Matthew 26, 67. Go ahead, Brother Bill. You know what this shows? His dedication. His dedication. He could have called 10,000 angels. His dedication. All the beatings, all the scourgings, all the spitting in the face and plucking out his beard. He was dedicated, it showed, to providing salvation to you and to me. You see, it's one thing to have determination, but it's another thing to have dedication. Watch this, friend. You'll never have determination unless you have dedication. If you're not dedicated to the cause, if you're not dedicated in your life, there's not going to be any determination. In order for you to have staying power determination, there's got to be some resolve of dedication. Oh, that we would be as dedicated to Him as He was to us. If there's ever been anybody that had the right to say, you know what, I'm done. If there's ever been anybody that had the right to say, you know what, I've came here, I've laid down all my robe of righteousness, I've laid down my splendor, I've laid down my glory, all to come to this earth. And the Bible says that the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He never had a place to lay his head. He said, foxes have holes, the birds are there, have nests. I have nowhere to lay my head. He came to this world, had nothing really of this world's good. Oh, when he went there to the cross, all he had was that seamless robe woven within and without, and they gambled for that garment. There's ever anybody that had the right, as he's on that cross, to say, you know what? I ain't doing this. I'm done. It was him. There we see him coming down the Via Della Rosa, all beaten and bloodied and bruised. You better be glad he didn't give up on us. We better be dedicated to him as he was to us. Shows his dedicated, stricken face. I'm trying to hurry. I want you to notice another one. A secret face. Go to Isaiah 64, verse number 7. Isaiah 64, verse 7. Somebody else go to Deuteronomy 31, 17 and 18. Who's got Isaiah 64, verse 7? Tyler, go ahead. Thou hast hid thy face from a secret face and hast consumed us. Watch this, please don't miss it. Why? Because he's unkind? Why? Because he's mean? Why? Because he has revenge? No, he says, because of thine iniquities. Because of thine iniquities. His secret face reveals his denunciation. Other words, it's God's way of denouncing our sinful lifestyles. He turns his back on us. He turns his face on us. The Bible says this in Habakkuk, thou art of pure eyes than to behold evil. God will not look upon sin. He's holy. He's righteous. He turns his face from us. You say, preacher, what's the big deal? I'll tell you what the big deal is. His face represents his presence and his active working in our life. His face is upon us. In Deuteronomy 31, 17 and 18. Is anybody there? I'll get it. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day. Watch this. And I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them. And then watch this. And they shall be devoured. You see, when God's face is on us, it's God's presence with us. That's his hand of protection on us. He said, I'll hide my face from them then. He said, they'll be devoured. He goes on and says, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in the day, are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? Our God is not among us. He hides his face. In Ezekiel 39, 24, I'm just going to give it to you. I'm trying to hurry. It says, according to their uncleanness and according to their transgressions, have I done unto them and hid my face from them. He tells you why. His face has been hidden. Why? Because of sin. But don't have to be hidden forever. 2 Chronicles 30 and verse 9 says, for if you turn again unto the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that led them captive, so that they shall come again into this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you if ye return unto him." I'm going to tell you what we need in our nation, what we need in our churches. I believe the greatest thing we could do in this nation is turn back to God. The greatest thing we could do is turn back to him. I'm telling you, he's hidden his face. He's hidden his face. He's not going to look upon our sin. He's not going to look upon our wickedness. He's not going to take in our filthiness the face of Christ, his favor on us, his touch on our churches, his blessing on our children have been hidden from us and this generation. But he said he'll not hide it forever if we turn back to him. Sounds something like what we preached on the other day. If my people, which are called by my name, humble themselves and pray, and what does he say? Seek my face. Turn from their wicked ways, that old sin. Then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, heal their land. We'll turn to him. Isaiah 54:8 says, "In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment." It shows the mercy of God. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. We see a secret face. He's hidden his face. Oh, listen, man, I wish I had time to really belabor this point. We need to turn back to God. Judgment has to begin at the house of God. We got to turn back to God as a nation, as a people. We got to get back to him. The secret face. I want you to notice, fifthly, the stern face. A stern face. Jesus wears many different faces. Ezekiel 14:8. I want you to turn there quickly. Ezekiel 14:8. It's an important passage. Right before Daniel. To look at it with me. Verse number 8, chapter 14. "And I will set my face against that man. Make him a sign and a proverb, and I'll cut him off from the midst of the people, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." Here the Lord says, I'll set my face against that man. What kind of man is he talking about? Look at verse number 2. "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart, and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them?" In other words, should I listen to anything they say? "Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart, putteth the stumbling, there's another message, Brother Mark, idols of the heart, before his face and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me." How? Through their idols. God said they're all estranged from me through their idols. And he said, I've set my face against them. That's more than just hiding his face. But he said, I've set my face against. It's the man or woman who set up idols in their heart. You know, an idol of the heart's anything we love more than God. I'll set my face against them who have idols of the heart. An idol, it's those things we look at and say, I need that in my life in order for my life to have meaning, in order for my life to have purpose. The idols of the heart is those things that we covet after, and what God's given us is not enough. It's the things that we just have to have, when really Jesus should be all we need. I want you to think for a moment about the idols we've set up in our culture. For some people, it's money. Can I tell you why we are where we are today in our nation? It's the almighty dollar. You follow the money and you'll figure out how we got where we are. You follow the dollar. you follow it, and you're going to figure out all this wickedness, all this evil. Oh, some of it's power, the lust for power, but the majority of it is the lust for money and wealth. Oh, all the backroom deals, all the, you've heard the stories, you know, all the corruption, the money that's been handed to the party that's up there right now from other countries. For some people, it's money. It's an idol of the heart. They spend their whole life trying to get money and more of it, more of it. It's never enough. They asked, I believe it was Bill Gates, how much is enough? He said, just one more dollar. Never satisfied. Money. It's an idol of the heart. That's why the Bible says, love of money is the root of all evil. Some, it's fame or notoriety. They just want that fame. They want to be seen. Why do you think YouTube and all these other platforms of video platforms and all that kind of stuff has taken off like it has? Because everybody wants to be a star. Everybody wants to be seen. Fame or notoriety. I want my name in the marquee lights. And that's an idol. For some people, it's sports. I just jumped on somebody's shoulder right there. For some people, it's sports. It's an idol of the heart. You let it drag you out of church. You're more loyal to some ball player who care less about God and the things of God than you are the Lord. Half of them, you still watch them anyway. Shows you it's an idol. As sorry as they are, kneel to our flag. For some, it's television and movies, the idiot box. It's an idol. Hey, you don't know how much is an idol to some people. Boy, they got to watch my shows. Got to watch my shows. You know. Y'all laughing because you know. Being close to home. For a lot of people, it's social media. They're much more loyal to reading that garbage on Facebook than reading the good stuff in this book. Social media, it's an idol of the heart. What they live for. Reading and searching out all that mess. As soon as they wake up, instead of the first thing it being, they open their Bible, getting the Word of God. I look at that phone on Facebook. I can tell you this, if I'm looking at my phone that early in the morning, it's because I'm looking at the Bible. Now, I read my Bible. I read this right here, but a lot of times, first time before I even ever get out of bed, I just want a verse. I just want a verse. Any addiction, it's an idol of the heart. And God said, I'll set my face against that man who has these idols of the heart. This whole series that we're going to be talking about is about learning to long for God, learning the thirst for God, learning to want God. That's what this series is about. It's all about learning all we can about Him to the point we fall deeper in love with Him. He said, I'll set my face against those that have set up idols in their heart instead of having me the right place in their heart. Oh, what we can learn as we consider the face of Jesus. Look at chapter 15 here, verse number 7 of Ezekiel. Quickly, I got to hurry. And I will set my face, he says again, I will set my face against them, 15 verse 7. They shall go out from one fire and another fire shall devour them, and ye shall know that I am the Lord when I set my face against them. So we have a shining face shows His deity. We have a set face shows His determination. We have a stricken face shows His dedication. The secret face shows His denunciation. We have a stern face. We have, won't you notice the last one, I'm trying to hurry. We ought to have, you and I, he ought to have a salt face. The Bible tells us in Psalm 27:8, when thou saidst, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Thy face, Lord, will I seek. I could give you a lot of verses. In Psalm 105:4 says, seek the Lord in His strength, seek His face evermore. 1 Chronicles 16:11. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face, it says this, continually. Continually. Can I tell you what our prayer ought to be? It ought to be tonight make thy face shine upon thy servant, as the psalmist said in Psalm 31, verse 16. Lord, that your face would shine upon me. I don't want his face against me. I don't want his face hidden from me. But our prayer ought to be, make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy, Psalm 31, 16. It ought to be our prayer. The next time that you seek his face, it ought to be different. The next time that you go to, see, when you go to God in prayer, you ought to be seeking his face. You ought to be thinking about something outside or thinking about whatever you're going to do later. Well, you ought to be seeking his face, earnestly trying to find his face through the darkness. The next time you seek his face, you want y'all to see a shining face. He's lit up as the glory of God, his deity. The next time you seek his face, you ought to picture that set face that was determined, that he'd set his face like a flint. The next time you go to God and you seek his face, don't miss that stricken face. By his stripes we were healed. Next time you seek his face, make sure that it's not a secret face. He's not having to hide his face from you and from your prayer because of your sin. The next time you seek his face, we don't want it to be a stern face. It's against you. I want God on my side, amen. The next time you seek his face, continue to seek his face. You ought to seek his face. It ought to be a salt face. I want to get through each one. I want to get through one of these every week. We could have broke that up and really belabored a lot of that. But you see all we can learn about the lovely Son of God by simply looking at the face of Jesus. I want you to imagine the hands and the feet and the eyes and so many other things. Talk about the voice. Talk about the heart. You talk about all these things. And you're going to learn some things about the Lord Jesus Christ. We uncover some things as we consider him. Amen. Do you have any special requests tonight?